This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch, and he's also Vegas Report. And he's now operating in Nevada, so he's free to speak candidly of California having a bad year. Who in California had a bad year? Jeff and I previously set aside San Francisco as that's in a league of its own. So we're not going to compare San Francisco to anyone. It's going through a bad patch. Isn't adequate to what it's going through. When the Financial Times first printed the metaphor doom loop, I didn't know whether it'd catch on. It's now there's doom loops of everything. You know, there's a doom loop of an electric vehicle, or there's a doom loop of a box company. Everybody's got a doom loop, but San Francisco is the original doom loop. Now, Jeff, who had a bad year? You'd have to say Kevin McCarthy had a bad year. Is that fair?
That's right. The former Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, Republican out of Bakersfield, he lost his job as Speaker. That's one. And, you know, he lost a lot of, I don't know if it's gravitas is the right word, but, you know, the weight that he could throw around before went out the window when he left that job. And there are already people talking about, you know, strong challengers for him if he had been running again in Bakersfield. My understanding is not, but he, you know, he really took it on the chin hard, and that was one that he could not come back from. There was a talk for a while that he might be able to beat the vote, but he couldn't do it. And he just, one of the other sides of that is it did not help the California caucus, either side, because as California's population drops and we're having some of the people die off and retire, California is losing some of its clout, and it certainly didn't help the state to lose Kevin McCarthy in the Speaker's office.
Who else didn't have a who else had a bad year? Let's not say didn't have a good year. Who else had a bad year in California? Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. Your turn.
I think you can look at what's going on in higher ed right now and kind of draw an analog to Mark Tessier Levine, who was the president of Stanford. It's, you know, on the East Coast you have, you know, Harvard and Yale and Princeton. On the West Coast, Stanford's the preeminent institution in every way, research, sports, academics, you name it. And the president stepped down in July after an independent review of his research said there were significant flaws in the studies he had supervised going back decades. And, you know, he was never accused of the things that, for instance, President Gates at Harvard's been accused of lately. But it was enough to take him down a few notches and, help show him the door. And he did so gracefully, I will say that. But it's really interesting because as the things we're seeing going on right now with the Ivy League presidents and the pressure some of them are getting to resign or just get outright fired is pretty incredible, especially, again, looking at President Gay at Harvard, who's the allegations against her are much tougher than the ones that were leveled against Stanford's president. But, yeah, he had a bad year. And the interesting thing I do want to point out is it all began with the student newspaper that found these discrepancies. So the power of the press is still there when it's wielded the right way.
And Hyperloop and high-speed rail, they had a bad year in California. Is that the perception? I know money keeps coming.
Money keeps coming in for high-speed rail. As a matter of fact, Joe Biden just managed to get several million dollars for California's much maligned high-speed rail, the high-speed rail to nowhere, as you like to call it, and then several billion dollars for the new rail project from Los Angeles to Vegas. Now, the one from Vegas going to Los Angeles-Vegas involves mostly private money. Is going to be done very quickly, and people are very enthusiastic about it. People are not enthusiastic about the high speed, the bullet rail, the bullet train, as they call it. So you have that going on. Now, there was Hyperloop, which was sort of a consortium. It was, you know, a lot of a talk with Elon Musk and even with Richard Branson. But this idea was to build, for lack of better terms, a vacuum tube kind of technology to move people and cargo at a very high rate of speed from various locations, utilizing these tubes that would be situated over already existing roadways. So there'd be no digging, no right-of-ways needed to be taken care of, and you'd save a lot of money. It would also probably be cleaner in the long run than the bullet train. But that's just proved to be unworkable and too costly, so they canned it in the past week or so.
Now, cities that had a bad year I'm leaving aside San Francisco. San Diego, you were there one weekend, I recall, where there were homeless arriving, not even homeless, migrants arriving from the border. Has that continued since then, Jeff? I think that was mid-year we were talking like that.
It has, and I've been down there several times since and have seen the increased number of migrants and undocumented folks there in the area. Have talked to people who live down there, and they say they see a noticeable difference. You know, so you're talking about in a period of several weeks or a month or so, 12,000 people, 15,000 people. And these are buses that are just driving over the border, dropping them off and leaving them. And the sad thing for these people is that they're given no direction. They have to try to find help as best they can. And whatever resources are down there, you know, whether they're charitable organizations or government organizations, are stretched so thin. Now, I realize that's a small game in comparison to what you're seeing go on in Texas and parts of Arizona. But for San Diego, this is really starting to cause a major problem. And you're starting to see, you know, political problems as well. I think in the next year or so, if this continues, you might see a change in the city government down there because people are so fed up.
And the opinion of Los Angeles under the new mayor, Karen Bass, who is much more present than I remember the previous mayor being present. What is the perception in Los Angeles County and Orange County?
The perception is, or the thing you hear most is, she's trying. She's trying really hard. And, you know, honestly, she is. I got to give her points because she shows up to the game every time. She's there at every press conference, whether it's a good or bad situation for her. And she really kind of puts her neck out there. But she's dealing with a problem that is way bigger than her and really bigger than her office. This is a county, a city, a county, state, even federal problem in California as the homeless population just continues to explode, as crime rates continue to be a problem. And as, you know, more people are leaving the state and more businesses leaving the state, this is all hurting Los Angeles in a very big way.
One more very bad year. Do we say Mickey Mouse? Do we say Walt Disney? Do we say Disneyland? Do we say Bob Iger? You're Pacific Watch. You're the veteran. You're Engineer Bliss, Deckhand Bliss, Yodeler Bliss. Which of those possibilities had the worst year?
I think the company, starting with the company itself, you know, and it had problems with their stock because that was reflecting the problems throughout the company. They still continue to have a hard time finding their way, whether it's the filmmaking or corporate structure, what their vision is. And then Bob Iger's not far behind. And part of that is because he had to clean up a mess. But part of it is because he has not led them out of the mess. And it doesn't seem like, you know, he doesn't seem like the general that's come in to lead the troops out of the mire that they're in. He seems like he got stuck in the quicksand too. So, you know, you have that problem that he's dealing with, a lack of vision, problem with their product or their brand is diluted. And, you know, you have an internal fight now with a former CFO who's coming in and saying, we're going to take control and we're going to put Disney back on track. So the internal fight is hurting them, as is the external pressures. This is a company, even though they've had a slight rebound in some of their stock prices, and some people are saying they think there's a bit of a rosier outlook for the parks and some of the filmmaking, they are still in a lot of trouble.
Jeff, what happened to the movies? There are different contributing tributaries, I believe, to the one big thing called Disney produces. They have the Marvel, they have the Star Wars, they have the cartoons. I can't remember all their names of all the different studios. Did they all decide to fail at once? How did it happen? You don't get such synchronicity, generally speaking. That it's not natural. Somebody should be doing better than everybody else, but the perception is they're all doing poorly.
I think you're right there. And I think, you know, there's kind of a groupthink that's taken on and it's come on in Hollywood that's taking over a lot of the different studios, the way they pursue their business, what they're going to do in the future, their 5, their 10-year plans. And it doesn't have much to do with what the true brand is or what the real vision for success is. It's more about personal, political, cultural, social agendas. You know, we talk about a Disney. It used to be that when you talked about film, you'd say, okay, let's talk about what movie we're going to take the family out to. Well, We're not going to go to science fiction. That might be too violent. We're not going to go to this because there's profanity. Let's go to a Disney movie. All you had to say was a Disney movie, and people knew what you were talking about. It was safe for the family. It was cute. It was funny. It was a story that was ageless. Nowadays, it has to be a challenge. You know, if you're for this group, you're in trouble. If you're in that group, you're automatically excused. We're going to change the storyline to fit the time. And, you know, there are some elements to all those stories that evolve over time. But really, Disney, when it came to telling stories, when it came to entertaining people, lost its way.
The movie that comes to mind when you mention that, when you make that analysis, is a movie I'll never see. I don't think anybody's seen it. I believe it's called Snow White Redone or Snow White Again. It has elves who are not quite elfish, dwarves who are not quite dwarfish. But most importantly, it had a star. I don't remember very much about the detail. It's a young actress, singer, song, whatever, very talented. But what I do remember in the interview is that they rejected the idea of Prince Charming coming along and rescuing her. Jeff, do I remember correctly? Is it that crazy?
That's part of it. You know, it was for the story that it went to saying that he was not given consent to kiss her, so that's a bad thing to have in the story. They talked about, you know, against the patriarchy, that, you know, Snow White should be able to rescue herself, and as you mentioned, the dwarves returned from being who they were, the cute little people in the original Disney cartoon,
Nine out of 10 people cannot name all seven. 9 out of 10. And I'm one of the nine.
they became archetypes or things that people, you know, pin their interests or their agendas on. And so, it lost track from what Snow White was about, what we used to talk about growing up, or what we talked about with our kids, whether it was reading to them or taking them to these movies. And so they just became another Hollywood movie, one that had explicit agenda, and we're looking to get entertained, not lectured to. So that's an example. Plus, you had reportedly the star of the movie had some very bad things to say about the story itself, about the original Snow White. And so that caused a lot of problems for it as well. So, you know, I think one of the problems is a lot of this, the ideology in Hollywood is very self-centered. It's about what's important to me, what's on my plate, what's on my agenda, and don't step on it or else we have to have a protest, we have to cancel you or whatever. So that's really infected not just Disney, but a lot of the studios.
And Mickey Mouse is now free. So what does that mean? Is Mickey Mouse going to go to Europe or something? You know,
yeah, he's gonna take a gap year and he's gonna backpack through Europe. No, you know, because he's been around long enough, he's entered the public domain now, or he's just about to, and that does have Disney folks worried, because who knows where he's going to show up. And who knows what he's going to be doing. On the other hand, it can't be any worse than what they're doing in Burbank at Disney now anyway with the company.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. The very good year for Las Vegas and the very bad year for fill in the blank. I'm John Batchelor.